Damon. How many of you are wondering if we're going to get out of verse 1 before we end the course? I'm sure we'll go faster this class. All right. Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's as far as we're going right now. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. When you are a prisoner, it is not about your desires. I wrote, when you are a prisoner, the last thing that people around you consider is your desires. Some of you go, really? Is that what it's like? Yeah. Take it from somebody who's been in jail. They're not thinking about you and your wants and your, you know, could I have a cupcake with that? And not hardly, Skippy. Anyway, yeah, that's right. And so you could say in a very real way it's a form of death, but it's like being the walking dead. It's like being the living dead. But we fear death. That's the scriptures say that. That through fear of death, their whole life they're in bondage. And but in the kingdom, in Jesus' economy, in Jesus' way of proceeding, death is a huge part of it. Whether it be physical death, which is usually a very small part of the actual thing, or it be being dead with Christ 2,000 years ago, or it be bearing about daily in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. that's the subject. That's it. But it is death or loss with purpose, and you have to realize that. You have to know that from the Lord. No amount of teaching is going to convince you of that when you get into the situation. It just won't. So there. That's that. You know, we all want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, right? And that's how you get there, right? You know, oh, I want to go to heaven. Oh, I got a gun right here. Can I help you along? No, I don't want to die. Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah, but is there another way? It's always that freak out that's going on in us when it comes to facing those things, unless Christ is beginning to be formed in us and whatever. I've often said that when I die, I want to die like my grandfather did. He died peacefully in his sleep instead of, you know, not screaming and like all those other people in his car. You know. Terrible. He was so peaceful when he was asleep, you know. He died in his sleep. Anyway. Wow. All right. Didn't expect that big of a reaction. The apostle calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. This expresses that he does not live free to get his wants or desires at the very moment he pleases, but he caters to another, capital, another, in order to serve what pleases Jesus, what pleases him. Jesus lives this way and expects us to live this way. Good scripture on that. Romans chapter 15. In fact, an excellent scripture on this. Romans 15, let's just read verse 1 through 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So this is actually coming out of chapter 14, where it's dealing with with people going, well, I can eat meat because that doesn't matter now, and Jesus made us free, and it's not about shadows and all this stuff, which is true, okay? But Paul comes back, and he says, but you're offending your weaker brothers then who don't really haven't come into that yet, and they're coming, but, you know, the road that you're choosing is trampling on other people. It's not Christ crucified. Okay, so he's coming out of that saying, okay, so if you're the strong ones, see, they're the weak ones. So, okay, if you're the strong ones, then this is how you need to be proceeding. Ye that are strong, or we then that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, puts himself as if he were one of those, though he doesn't do it that way. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. In other words, that's an inward motivation, but it's also that inward heart nature and motivation goes up to your eyes, and you view things through that heart of Christ, of the Lamb. And so you see things no longer just based on how everything affects me, or what good will I get out of this, or what's the point of this if I don't, you know, if it doesn't come turn to my advantage or something like that. Instead, you see how, well, even my loss in this situation could benefit them. And of course, that's Christ. That's not us. That's him. So we're not going to think that way unless we have the mind of Christ. But that heart is in us already to do it, because it's Christ in it. It's there. And, you know, sometimes, like Paul was dealing with the weak ones over here, and he said, well, don't offend them. Let them come along. I mean, there are people that will grow in this. But my first reaction to all this stuff when I first started hearing it, and frankly, I started hearing it from the Holy Spirit and the Word. And that was the, you know, this wasn't something that was taught at Berean, by the way, all this, if you know, where I came from, my Bible school. It didn't teach this, Christ in you as the Lamb and this nature and all this, did it? It didn't teach this. But while in Bible school, the Lord started opening my eyes to this. 22 years old, and I just was like, oh my God, is this real? You know, because it wasn't in me yet, but it just took me a while. It took a while for it to move from he that is in me being able to come out of me. And even before that, he that is in me to be able to help me to see it as he sees it. Yes. You know, now the Bible explains it all, but somehow we're able to read that and not see the Lamb at all. Yeah. Right. We just, you know, it's just like, you know, this is just Bible stuff. I don't know what we're thinking. But I did the same thing. And my whole point is that I realized that sometimes it takes a while for a person to get to this place. And there's no need herding or goading or, you know, trying to force people or all that's ridiculous. First of all, it's all counterproductive because it's not the Lamb, so there's no death, there's no self-giving on our part. So how can they? What's the impetus going to rise from if we don't lay down our lives for them and love them no matter what, right? Isn't that right? The weak, verse chapter 14. So there's this process, and it just takes a while. But only a heart, only a love for Jesus and a love for him like this is going to motivate you to step across that line and say, count me in, you know. I don't know why the line thing just reminded me of, you know, supposedly what happened at the Alamo when, you know, William B. Travis drew a line in the sand. He said, we're surrounded. There's more people there with them. They got cannons, everything else. There's a good thing we're going to be slaughtered. So I'm going to give you, you know, a chance. Whoever, you know, and I think the deal was, you know, whoever is going to stay, step across the line, if I remember correctly. It could be just the opposite. But he drew it, and everybody stepped across that line. Except maybe one. I can't remember. I wasn't there. Anyway, they all died. They all died. And you go, well, what, for what? You know, I mean, this is just in the natural. This isn't even based on Christ crucified, but they all died. For what? The cry came out from there. Remember the Alamo, and then it was always looked upon. And it's so funny how this works. You know, you see it in movie after movie and situation after situation. The thing that people glorify and make movies about is when people give up themselves. I mean, you see it all the time in movies. And you go, if that was the lamb, everybody go, no, I ain't going to do that. But for love, what do you think this is? You know what I mean. Anyway, maybe we won't get through with this class tonight. All right. It is in this mindset, 15:1, then we ought to, for even Christ pleased not, well, even verse 3 there, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. What does that mean? He didn't please himself. We could say, well, he didn't please himself. He didn't, you know, he could have had a three-tier ice cream cone, but he, you know, he drank a diet soda. So he didn't please himself. I don't think that's it either. I'm with you, Mallory. I don't think that's, you know. Oh, darn. The example it's given here is that he allowed the reproaches that should have fallen on somebody else to fall on him without him going, you know, justifying, going, look, I didn't do this. They did. And guess what? They did do it, but he let it fall on him. He didn't sin. They did. And he said, this is the way he doesn't please himself. It has nothing to do with ice cream cones or diet soda or whatever, Cokes. It is that you are willing to be accused, falsely accused, looked upon as evil, and stand fast with the Spirit of Christ, because the Father knows, and he will exalt that, not in the way that we think, though, because the Lamb didn't go, I knew I'd be exalted. You know what I mean? He's still sitting on the throne as a Lamb, and he's still ministering to our needs, you know. When he should be ministered unto. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit has to take us into this room, as it were, where he dwells, and show us around, because it's not of this world. It's not. And the way that he thinks is not the way we think. We read the scripture, well, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are our thoughts. He's going, no kidding. We're going, well, you know, they're kind of alike. I'm getting close to thinking like God or something. I don't know. I don't know what we're thinking. But, you know, I know a lot of scriptures, and I'm sure that fulfills this, you know. No. You know, we need to enter into that room, that realm, and start walking around it. And it's just a whole another world, completely different. And it'll give you a new Bible in the process, because you'll see all of this stuff and you'll constantly be going, oh my God, that's the issue here too and there. And it really is. All right. Gosh, what have I read? One sentence here? No, it's the first sentence still. It is in this mindset that Paul wishes to talk to Philemon, not about what pleases himself. Philemon, or not himself, Paul, Philemon, or even Onesimus, but the actions that would greatly please Jesus. Paul ignores the issues of right and wrong, Christian principles, or pure doctrine, and goes to what he feels is the heart of the matter. Is Christ crucified who rules in us, or is it still us based on what is ours and what are our rights in the matter? And that's the issue in Philemon. That's the issue of in Philemon. Paul is laying down and oozing with Christ crucified toward Philemon with the hopes that it would seep into him or awaken in him or cause to remember and identify again with this lamb spirit. Because if Paul's the one who led him to the Lord, you better believe that's what he talked about. Yeah. So this is his goal. He's reaching out to him for that. And I said, Paul ignores the issues of right and wrong. He ignores the issues of Christian principles. I mean, in that sense, he ignores the issues of what we would call pure doctrine. Well, but the scripture says this. You know, the devil tried to use that on Jesus. Well, the scripture says, throw yourself down from here, and God, he's going, you know, shut up. You know, you don't even know how to apply these things. You apply them completely different. You know, prove that you're a son of God. That's his words. And he's expecting Jesus to go, well, I can do that. I'll just throw myself down. I'll be scriptural. For God's sake, people, we're not trying to be scriptural. We're trying to allow Christ to be formed in us. Yes, we need the scriptures. Of course, and who preaches it more than me? We must search the scriptures. Yeah. But the issue is not just to be scripture searchers. The issue is that we are conformed to the image of Christ. All right. Paul knows what he's talking about concerning these things. There were forces at work and people who had made it their goal in life to destroy him. And that's Acts 23, starting with verse 12. And you know the story where these guys dedicated their life to destroy and kill Paul. And they said, we're going to fast and not eat till he's dead. I'm thinking they died before he did. I'm thinking they did that, and they said, this is the Lord. And then when Paul wasn't dead and they couldn't get to him and everything, they went, you know, I think, you know what I think is that the scriptures, yeah, there's some way of justifying our commitments, whether it's killing somebody or just following Jesus. Anyway, maybe it was not right according to as to how the Jews had treated Paul that he should be thrown in jail or the Romans or the... maybe it is not fair that he, a Roman citizen, should be treated as if he had no special status, which he did. All he had to do was declare he was a Roman citizen and they would freak out. And you know that from the scriptures if you're familiar with the scriptures. Because he did do it once, and they freak out. But he quit doing that after that. He just, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a tool. I'm sure of this, that he began to comprehend Christ crucified more and more and more, and he went, this is a tool that, you know, like God has a tool to prove to people he's God, and this is a tool to get me out of stuff when I should be going into death so that life can come forth. And so he quit using little things to get his way or to circumvent this or, you know, do all this stuff, including declaring that he was a Roman citizen. though involved in his life story, there may be Pharisees and priests, Caesar, Roman governors and guards, yet he knows that he's not their prisoner. He knows he's not their prisoner. He also knows that as a Roman citizen and one who had worked his way up into the hierarchy of the Jewish religion as a Pharisee, that life would be very different for him had he not chosen the bonds of Christ as his lifestyle. I know it's a long sentence, but basically he's just saying he knows that if he had not chosen Christ crucified, his life would be very different as he sits there in prison. But he's not their prisoner. And Jesus wasn't murdered. It's a choice, but it's more than a choice. It's a choice to want Jesus the way he is in death and in resurrection. or to want the Jesus that's presented by modern-day Christianity. And clearly, if you delve into the scriptures enough, you find that, you know, there are all sorts of contradictions to what they're teaching. And there are scriptures that people would say, well, that contradicts what this says. But in most cases, and see, that's why I don't mind people asking questions or challenging me, because, I mean, I've pretty much spent my life searching the scriptures, and I have found that around those scriptures, it usually declares Christ crucified. It's amazing to me. So I go, yeah, really try to refute this. Go at it, because it's good for me. And if I can't answer it and I can't come back with something, then, you know, quit listening to me or give the Holy Spirit enough time to open my eyes. Anyway, that things would be different had he not chosen the way of Christ crucified. But as he sits in that prison cell, he knows what he's doing. But for Paul, these are not even issues. The only issue to him is Christ. Really, the only issue, and he's with Jesus. He's with Jesus more than anybody. He chose the lower path of Christ crucified. And I pulled a little saying out of a book by Alexander McLaren that I really, really liked. So I'm going to quote it here. Christ himself had riveted Paul's manacles on his wrists. Therefore, Paul bore them as lightly and as proudly as a bride might wear the bracelet that her husband had clasped on her arm. Should I read it again? Christ himself had riveted his manacles on Paul's wrists. Therefore, Paul bore them as lightly and proudly as a bride might wear the bracelet that her husband had clasped on her arm. That just killed me. Just thought of Paul sitting there with those handcuffs, those braces on him, and Paul's going, "The Lord has put these on me. This is my Jesus, and I'm so proud of where I'm at for him, and that he would allow this for me." That's insanity for anybody who does not have the mind of Christ. And the only mind that is truly sane is the mind of Christ. But it's so rare that it looks like insanity. Thank God. Way back 100 years ago, there was somebody else. That's why I put this in here. There was somebody else who was seeing that. All right, but not everyone feels the same about serving Jesus. Some people's approach to getting their way is like a tornado. It is big, blustering, and intimidating. It usually moves everything out of its way as it follows its own course. In the end, it goes where it wants to go, but look at the devastation left behind. All right, guess what? We got one little section here, and we're going to be done with verse 1. I'm feeling pretty good about this. We are halfway through the course. So by the time we get 20 classes done, we should be through with verse 2. Yeah. Amen. Let's just... Yeah. Because I got to verse 2? That's scary. All right, this part is just what it is. Written to Philemon. So that's the... Let's go back to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow worker. Notice that the letter is sent to Philemon, okay? But it shows that Paul is well acquainted with his family or possibly with other church members. He's no stranger to Philemon or those he is close to. So, because it goes on in verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So that's, most people think, and I've probably got those in the notes for verse 2, but they think that Archippus is his Philemon's son and Apphia is his wife. However, they could just be church members. And this shows that Paul is well acquainted with this group of 16 in their church at Colossae. Fellow laborer, he calls Philemon. Unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow worker or fellow laborer. Fellow laborer implies that they are about the same things. They are being about the same labors together, both Philemon and Paul. Philemon as a leader who has the church in his home and owns slaves and is well respected, and Paul also a fellow laborer, though in prison, bound by the gospel. They stand for the same thing. They have given themselves in practical ways to spread the message of Christ and him crucified. Isn't that cool? Is that cool or not that, you know, we don't have Philemon in prison, but he's still following the ways of the Lord as he knows them. And he got saved by Paul and was, I'm sure, instructed by Paul. Paul, who has a lot of years on him and also understands Christ crucified maybe more, sits in a prison glorifying Jesus just as much. And so I think from that we should realize that it does, everything doesn't end to the worst degree, but I guarantee for some it does. Okay, I'm just telling you, for some it does. For some, it's going to go the full length because, number one, they're with the Lord in it. They understand the pieces that make it up. They have that mind, and they are willing. And so you can believe that whether there's Paul or Peter even eventually, you know, Jesus said to Peter, you know, that this is the way that you're going to die. When you get old, you will be carried around to places you don't want to go. And you will have to experience things that were not what you were after. And you see that with, for example, Deb's father died at 96. Very active man, very vital sort of guy. But when he got old, he was carried to places. And I remember we would visit him and be with him. And sometimes they would feed him what he didn't want, and they would do things that he didn't like. And he, you know, and he was a man, and he was, you know, he was used to, you know, carrying himself and all this kind of stuff. And it was very hard for him. It was very hard for him. But imagine that spiritually, where you're in a situation of limitation. You're in a situation where, again, what pleases you is not an issue. It's not going to be taken into consideration. And you are, as it were, carried against what, you know, I want to say your will, but spiritually, it's not against your will. It is just not what you would choose. Does that make sense? It's not what you personally would choose. But it is, you're with the Lord in it. Not my will, Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, you know, well, if you're going to let me have free will, then no, I'm not going to die for these heathen or something, you know. But he spiritually, you realize that maybe it's funny because it's when you get older, when you get mature, you realize that maybe you're going to do more in your old age, in your maturity. Maybe you're going to actually accomplish more than all that you did before, because all that you did before had so many elements of you and you didn't even know it, and so many of your bright ideas and you didn't even know it, that they were contrary to the mind of Christ. They didn't violate Christianity, you know what I'm saying? They just were contrary to the mind of Christ. And so many things you wrote or said that, you know, were good, not bad, but still maybe not right on, not really hitting the mark, or not breathing forth that beauty that is the Lamb coming from the throne, that water of life coming out of the church to the nations. And so you realize, this is my big chance. You know, you realize this is my big chance to really release something beautiful, something eternal, something that will flow of pure waters. So you see this kind of situation with Paul and Philemon, both in completely different situations and yet fellow laborers. Certainly from Paul's point of view, even if God might say, well, I don't know if Philemon's really, you know, it doesn't say whether he is or isn't, but Paul is only going to put himself on an equal basis and we're together in this, not just this message, but in this spirit. Because in the book of Philemon, it's not going to call for an acknowledgement of the message. It's going to call for the very life of Christ crucified to come out of Philemon, and for the church to see Christ come out of him, and for the church to see him embrace someone that by all rights should not be embraced, Onesimus. But where are you going to see the beauty of Christ apart from that? You're just going to see hurt and prejudice and anger for what, you know. I mean, I'm sure that was Philemon's reaction when he left. He ran away slave. We'll deal with some of this. And supposedly took some of his Philemon stuff. You go, this guy's just a rebel. He's just a rebel. He's a reprobate. What's going to transform Philemon's mind? What's going to do it? Paul's not even trying to preach Christ crucified to him. He's just being Christ crucified to him. Oh my God, can we learn from this book? Can we learn? Can we learn Jesus? This little short book that God chose that it would last and stay for generation, for next generation, the next one for 100 years, for 200, for 1,000, for 2,000 years, and still be with us and still hear those words, turn to the book of Philemon. Oh my God, what a God we've got. Let's see. Fellow labor implies that they're about the same things. They stand for the same thing. They have given themselves in practical ways to spread the message of Christ crucified. It could be worded, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, friend, and one who labors, so as we might make Christ crucified known. The power of this reality. Father, we just thank you for your Son. We thank you again that he is a lamb, that he is precious to us, that he is why this place exists. There are many, many places, certainly more honorable, more prestigious, that you graced us with allowing us to bow our knees to the Lamb now and in this life, not just in doctrine, but in the way that we proceed, in the way that we treat one another. Father, we're all at different places in this place, and we all of us need to hear not just words and teaching, but hear the Holy Spirit impart. So we do humbly ask you, Father, impart by the Holy Spirit this Jesus in us, to make him manifest through us. And we don't ask it for ourselves, but we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're dismissed.